Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, everyone, where we enjoy a little healing for the heart on Sunday afternoons. I'm Valerie, your host. It's so wonderful to be with you here today. And thank you so, so much, BBS Radio, for your support. We are so honored by your service to this show, and we thank you for the great work that you do. Well, folks, today we are going to lean on a few triggers together. If we're ready and willing and able, are we up to it? Let's talk about these things we call beliefs and limiting beliefs and how they might undermine the greatest love of all, which is love for ourselves. And let's see where those ideas lead us today. So let's start with something that Carl Jung theorized. And that is the idea that we have a hidden self, and we know it as an unconscious shadow self, and those are the terms that he liked to use. And the idea sort of parallels what we think about when we describe our own human experience of polarity or duality, where our conscious selves are separated into what we could think of as energetic paradoxes or frames of reference. For example, male and female, or light and dark, good and bad, those kinds of easy examples, energetic paradoxes, right? And we think of those things in terms of siloing experiences where they are oppositional to each other. And that's sort of the way that we see things as human brains, as opposition, right? Something is a good experience or it's a bad experience. Our brain likes to order our world in ideas like either or, and not necessarily and, right? As a term. And so Carl Jung added to that idea of duality by describing humans as having both a conscious and unconscious self. And he talked about how our unconscious or our shadow selves have the cognitive power to control our behavior through unconscious thought patterns that may not even exist on the surface of our thinking or our conscious beingness. But that unconscious thought pattern comes up into the surface of our behavior. And that's a very interesting idea. It has a lot of weight and it goes a long way to describing what might be the issues involved in humanity's incapacity to reach an awakening that we might need right now in our world. So Jung suggested a way for us to be able to manage our subconscious selves. And he said, we have to learn how to stare into the darkness and bring the subconscious to light. In other words, he was very, very clear about the fact that we needed to know thyself. We needed to know ourselves. And that takes on a very specific meaning when we think about what it might be to believe in something as opposed to actually know something. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But before we do, I'm thinking that we could put some of these ideas to work together. You want to try a Dixit card? Let's imagine a scene in our minds and see what comes up for us to think about. For those of us who are new, welcome. It's so wonderful to have you here. We like to do what is called an image reading. It's where we build an image in our mind of a specific scene and then allow our thoughts to populate information about what we're seeing and what we're thinking about. And we're just allowing the subconscious to arise in our imaginings, as we relax and just daydream about a particular scene that we're creating in our minds. And we just take a look at what comes up and we consciously reflect on the things that might be coming up for us. So if you're inclined, please join us. Let me set the scene for our Dixit card today. And that is, we are going to take a ride on a carousel. We are going to take a carousel ride together today. So imagine we are all boarding a carousel ride. It is a large carousel with many rows of brightly painted character rides. Okay. And the rows encircle a center column covered entirely of mirrors and bright lights. Okay. Do you get a sense of where we are? We are getting ready to step forward and climb up on the platform of this carousel ride. And our good work right now is to step up and locate our seats. Okay, we're going to walk toward our special ride and climb on. Okay, did you find a special ride on the carousel? Because the ride is starting to move and we are underway. Okay. The ride is starting to move. We have found our character ride and we've climbed on. And now our ride is starting to move up and down as we circle around the carousel. Okay. You have the scene in your mind? Are you on your ride? Are you moving in motion with the carousel? So a song comes on the loudspeaker, and you hear the music, and you recognize that song. Now, notice anything else about your ride that pulls at your attention right now. Anything pulling at your attention that you might notice as you are riding on the carousel. What special character did you choose as your ride? Was it an animal? What special character did you choose as your ride? Any idea why you might have chosen the ride that you chose? How tightly are you holding the ride handle? Any idea why you might be holding the ride handle as tightly as you are? Are you having fun? And what does that mean for you as we are on our carousel ride? How fast is the ride going? How fast is the ride going? And by the way, what is the song that's playing that you recognize? What feelings are attached to that song? And now the ride is slowing. It's slowing down to a stop, and things have come to a halt. And so let's think about, Do you want to get off the ride? Are you ready to go? Why or why not? Did the ride give you some things to think about? Were there memories involved? Did you enjoy your ride? And these are all just questions that we can think about and see what comes up. If we have a notepad, you're invited to take some notes, and that way you can come back a little later and do some reflection if you'd like to. But I hope you had fun on Air Carousel Ride, and thanks so much for playing along. We like to do this every Sunday, and our Dixit cards just give us an opportunity to practice pulling our subconscious into our consciousness and working with it a little bit. And not only is it sort of fun to do, it can be kind of helpful sometimes as we learn to create a consciousness around our behaviors and our patterns and our thoughts, right? And maybe you'll take some time this week to reflect a little bit on what we've done together. So I have to tell you, friends, as we get into today's topic, this week has been something of a week full of discernment hurdles. And I'm wondering if there have been discernment hurdles for anyone else out there this week. And here's the thing about that. And universe keeps teaching us very little of what we actually say, that we talk about, means very much in our world. None of the wisdom in the world that we talk about and listen to and share really means much if we're not putting what we know to work or into action, right? So I'm curious if anybody else out there has been in full reliance mode this week. Full reliance mode, reliant on the universe as we try to make careful choices, some of which we really have no idea if they're the right choices or not. And so we start to learn something interesting, right, about our decision making and trusting in this process of allowing our lives to unfold and allowing our choices to be guided. And very interesting things happen when we give ourselves over to that kind of thing. And something I've learned is, you know, when we push the universe, it will push back, right? It will push back. And I'm wondering if anybody's ever felt that. Have we ever taken a step and something changes our course, and then we take another step and it redirects us again? And then we begin to learn to make decisions as we are continually redirected by the flow of life around us. And we might even make decisions that don't really work out the way we think they would or should. But we do know that the unfolding is very, very purposeful. And we begin to trust that. And it's not easy. But we do allow the redirection, and we allow Source to unfold its responses, right? It responds to our choices. Even the competing choices that we might have going on, we have to make competing choices and things. And I have to say, it's been something of a week of competing choices. And I suppose we have to learn for ourselves how self-doubt might kill the capacity of our spirits to really be able to discern things and act and integrate with Source. You know, in order for us to improve our decision making, and self-doubt is a tricky thing that way. So I guess the question is, do we struggle with the story that our ego forms in our head about our realities as decision points arise, as choices have to be made? Decisions have to be made, and this story has a series of confusing what ifs and how will I knows as we are making the choices that we make. And we wonder if the universe will actually catch us if we make a mistake, or if we'll be guided, and if we'll recognize the good guidance. And we might ask, will the outcomes be the best for me, or did I choose right? And sometimes we just have no idea until things unfold in different ways. There's one thing we can say, though, that every action that we take is responded to by the life force that guides us. That's the way it works. There is always a response, an action, and a reaction. And probably especially in, bad decision making. If we pay attention, there might be a learning curve there that can help us. How can we say that? Well, doesn't our flow invite balance and integration? Isn't that the idea? And decisions that harmonize, that's what we are learning to do, isn't it? And is it possible that we can sense if we learn how to make our decisions based on how they flow for us, how the universe flows within us and around us, and how we feel in our hearts and in the energies of our bodies? Can we learn to feel those things? Can we know a good decision when we make it? And this is key. How much do our belief systems actually have to do with how we make our decisions, with how we're judging our choices? Do our beliefs decide our choices instead of our tuition or our spirit? It's been a real struggle this week letting go of what could be delusion and some of the choices having been made. And letting go of what might be misplaced beliefs clouding those choices. We know that we are perfect spirits, but we are in human bodies with self-deluding minds. And that's where we are. We are inundated by unhelpful belief systems, and we know this. We work with this balance every day, don't we? And in this condition, we have to try to figure out what are the course corrections that we might need to make? What are the signs that we need to do some course correcting, right? We need to turn left instead of right, or move forward, or stand still. And we look for ways to recognize how source flows and how it might flow better with some of the decisions that we make. Because sometimes we can't know if our choices are good ones or not right away, right? We know that our choices do set into motion reactions that create new reality for us. Choices do matter. And every single choice does unfold a new reality. We know this. So do we trust in our relationship with universe in that unfolding? Do we trust in the energy of our flow? Have we learned to do that? Sometimes it's not so easy, especially in times of confusion or imperfect communication or emotional overload, right? Can we trust in the guidance of our source? That which safeguards us energetically. Can we trust ourselves in the signs and the nudges all around us? In the still small voice of a cosmos helping us feel our way through what can be a very chaotic life, right? So, what might make it easier for us to do that? To feel God within us and around us, and to flow with source, and to make peace with decisions that we're making. So, are we open maybe to a closer look at a few tricky things that we might talk about today when it comes to belief systems? And we might tread on some revered belief systems as we go along. And we have plenty of limiting beliefs that might get in the way, right? And are we willing maybe to bravely dive into some of those things together here as we think about belief systems? And as you hear me say that beliefs are dangerous things, friends. They are animals of the mind. They are contrivances of control, as it were, wedged into our thinking by those who have enough influence over us to guide our thinking when you think about it. Whether we realize it or not, that's what beliefs are, and that's what they do. So, what is a belief system? Well, it's the construction of a code of expectation. It's rules of behavior, right? Rules that say, no matter what you feel, act this way. That's what a belief system does. It's a set of principles that are meant to construe a particular reality, right? And the thing is, they don't belong to us, our beliefs. They do not belong to us. They belong to those who taught us our beliefs. Our parents, our teachers, our Sunday school classes, our friends, our politicians, our doctors. And I wonder if we can even imagine generations of people following belief systems from eons ago, ages ago. Belief systems created so long ago, we don't even know where they came from. We just follow along because they were given to us and they construe our reality, right? And reality that controls the lives of a whole planet of people from a long, long, long time ago. And let me give you an example. We're born and we die paying taxes on things we've already bought many times over, right? For let me give you an example. Why do we do that? And it's an example front and center in the New Testament. Pay your taxes. Get on your donkey and go pay your taxes. And then what do we see Christ do? Christ rides into town on a donkey, and we think, oh, wait a second. We know, right? We know what's being shown to us, right? We know all about that idea. And that truth comes from a knowing, from communicating a knowing. And it comes from our own trials and what results from our own study of self and the communication of source and what is eternally true by what we learn about ourselves and who we are and how we move through our day in the flow of information and energy and decision making, right? And all of that works without one single belief. It all works without one single belief. You don't have to believe in a thing for any of that to unfold, right? Beliefs cannot penetrate your knowing, right? So they have to keep you from learning how to know. And frankly, it's the problem with words like faith and hope, words that keep us hanging on to beliefs that we can't quite feel yet. So be very careful with these kinds of words. They are something of an if-then cycle, right? An if-then idea. If I have faith, then I will receive a blessing. Or I hope I will be blessed somewhere in the future. And the truth is, and we all know it's the truth, that there is no future to hope on, is there? We live in an eternal now. And our trust is in the unfolding of what is now. And that's our good work to learn, isn't it? So what do beliefs do? I mean, what is their power? Well, beliefs are constructed to direct us in the way we define our world and our roles in the world. Roles that order how our world is managed by the design of those in control. So do you see the danger in that? And unfortunately, a belief system, right? Beliefs put us into mind energy and into an identity system. And we talk about identity a lot. We identify with their roles. They become limiting and we become limited by our roles. We contract and we become smaller and limited by adopting beliefs, by adopting a belief system. And our brains pull us back into an ego that creates a storyline, right? And this storyline has us believing the mind energy rather than flowing with heart energy and into our energetic center, right? And our beliefs keep us prisoner in some ways in the control system that we're in. By design, we're actually controlled by maybe the beliefs of our captors when you want to think about it. Those who control communication pathways, propaganda, technology, information flow. Think about it. The modern world is one big push to control the creation of reality. Why? Because it controls us in that reality. We are living in a worldwide reality TV show, pretty much, aren't we? And we believe strange things like banks actually have money. And we believe churches can save our souls. And we believe governments represent the people. And we believe courts actually protect our inalienable rights. And here's the hard one. We believe that there is a source God that will give us our every desire if we're good enough to receive it. That's the hard one. We believe God makes this life special and easy if we can deserve it, right? We build stories of beautiful lives based on how worthy we are, even though our journey doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't work that way. We are the journey of our own hearts. We are the journey. We're not going anywhere, friends, right? But into ourselves. We are the power that saves ourselves. Our source is, well, it's the beacon of light that shows us the way and the energy that unfolds around us and in us to guide us. Our alignment is our salvation, right? The inner work, going within, that's our salvation because the journey is us. The electromagnetic flow, I guess, of energy up and down our spine. That is the journey. It's the journey of awakening. It's the message of Christ. And what is that message? Well, our salvation itself is within us. And we were meant for this kind of understanding. We were meant to know the way of our internal journey, but instead we've learned somehow to be preoccupied with suffering. And so we suffer as spirits in human bodies. And were we meant to do that? I mean, did we come here in order to suffer as spirits and bodies? And I'm telling you right now, we absolutely were not. We absolutely were not created to suffer as spirits and bodies. It's It is almost inconceivable that we would allow ourselves to believe that. So let's understand maybe a hard truth about that. Our physical bodies are a result of intentions and self-interests of, well, gods at play, creating worlds of realities that compromised us. And the question is, can we course correct? Will we awaken? Will we make choices that flow with our source? But friends, don't let anybody ever tell you that human life is supposed to be all about suffering. We did not come here to learn lessons. We did not come here to suffer through the horrors of what our world is reckoning right now. That's our own doing because we didn't course correct, because our choices didn't flow from source and around and within source. And so the point is, we are here now, right? We are here and we do have to remember ourselves. And I suppose, as an analogy, it's really all about the apple. It's really all about the apple, friends, from a long, long time ago. The knowledge of good and evil and our awakening. It's about the life force itself that ripples throughout creation, right? It has to have stasis and balance and unification and solidarity. And that really is what it's all about right now. It's about the apple and our return to innocence, maybe, and our knowing and the perfection that is truly who we are. And anything else, friends, is a belief system. Anything else that is not knowing from your gut, from your heart, anything else that is not a shiver up and down your spine, that anything else is a belief system. Right? And when those belief systems actually fall away, powerful, powerful things begin to happen. Because we've started asking the hard questions and we've made tough decisions and we've traveled a path less taken to greater freedoms because we've listened to the still small voice, the nudges in our stomachs or the shivers on our skin, the pulsing of our energy and maybe the trembling of our heart space. We can measure what makes us calm and we know the difference, and that is knowing. And we can call it Holy Spirit if we want, or divine wisdom. We can call it Christ Sophia. It is our bodies reconnected to ancient sacred intuition that communicates through sharing energies with source. That's what we call Christos energies. It's energies flowing between human form and God. And the question is, I suppose, how willing and able are we to dare such a journey within ourselves? Into our own energies, into the abstract of what we are, into the sovereign celestial realm of holy things and sacred beingness. And sometimes when our week or our day or our long night of hardship is clouded with indecision and confusion and the possibility of unpreferred consequences of making bad decisions, how willing are we to step out and observe the flow of energy surrounding the decisions that we make? It's not easy when folks are telling us to do one thing and we're feeling tugged in a different direction. And sometimes source just says no. And this week, source said no. And it was loud and it was clear. And frankly, it was something of a disappointment. But once we hear, we really, really hear, and calm comes over us, and we know the course, and How the decision turns out might be anybody's guess, but for better or worse, we are certain, right? We feel the calm and we know the choice was made intentionally and the response was given and with great care. And we feel into the energies and we accept and allow God's no. We accept and allow it. So, speaking of choices, right, we've talked a lot about choices and making decisions and being guided in that way. You want to play a little bit, and have a little bit of playtime together and do an activity that we like to do on Sundays. And for those of us who are new, we try to play a little bit, and you can just follow our lead if you'd like to. And if you can, get a pen and a piece of paper, anything to write with and anything to write on. And I will start our play and we will end with some reflection, okay? So today, let's do a super fun activity and I'll give some instructions, okay? Are we ready? We don't want to leave anybody behind. So anything to write on, anything to write with. Grab a pen and a piece of paper, and then we can start together and have a little bit of fun and sort of put into practice some of the things that we like to talk about. So here are your instructions. Okay. On your paper, draw a dinner plate. Okay. On your piece of paper, draw a dinner plate. Draw a plate on your paper. All right. Now, in that plate, draw three foods that you absolutely love to eat for your health and wellness. So, if you could imagine having a nice meal with three of your favorite foods that you would love to eat for your health and wellness. They're delicious and they're yummy and they're healthy. What three foods would you put on your plate? And take just a minute and draw those three foods. And they don't have to be perfect, just so you know what they are. Three foods that you enjoy for your health and wellness. Right, and your drawing doesn't have to be perfect. Just put your three foods onto your plate that you love to eat for a healthy meal that you can sit down and enjoy. Now, take just a second and describe what each food symbolizes for you. Write a few words down for each food and what each food symbolizes for you. And you can jot down just a few words, a very short description. What does each of those foods symbolize for you? Got it? Okay, here's your question, and this is where our reflection comes in. Here's your question, and it's a very simple one. What are you having for dinner today? What are you having for dinner today? Or what did you have for dinner today if you've already had your meal for the evening? What did you have? And how similar is it to your dinner? On the yummy plate of healthy, delicious food on your paper. How similar is the meal you had today, or you will have today, to the yummy, delicious food on your paper. Is it very different? And why might the meal be different? Why might the meal be different? And last question, and it might trigger us just a little bit, but thinking about your plate of healthy, delicious food, okay, how much of a priority are your own needs in general? How much of a priority are your own needs? And maybe you can think about that with respect to the delicious, healthy meal that you drew on your paper and compare it to your dinner. How much of a priority are you to yourself? And is there any opportunity to change those priorities even just a little bit in little ways for your benefit? And if not, might there be limiting beliefs attached to your priorities, or limiting beliefs associated with your lack of an ability to really appreciate your own priorities? Just take a minute and think about that. And you can jot some things down in your notebook if you'd like to. And hopefully that was fun and it gives us something to think about. It's a very visual idea. It helps us compare what we prefer to maybe what our reality might be. Lets us think about some things, and maybe some of us are not comfortable thinking about ourselves and putting ourselves first or having priorities for our own needs. And maybe there's an opportunity to even think about those ideas as well. And I want to thank you so much for playing with me. I think that it's a wonderful opportunity for a little reflection. And it's also something that's fun for us to do together. So let's think about this idea a little more about limiting beliefs and the fact that they can restrict the priorities that we might prefer for ourselves, and they might distance our preferences from the realities that we actually build. And what might that do for the joy that we have for our own lives and the decisions we make and the choices we make? And how might that limit the experiences we have as we work through our days and our weeks, and we create the realities of our lifetimes that impact the joy that we have? And so what fills the space of what used to control us if not a belief system? How do we change filling our minds with belief systems? How do we move away from that? What does it take to find source or God through the good work of intuitive, energetic, Christ-like expressions of ourselves if we somehow can lose the limiting beliefs? What do we replace them with? How do we experience source in a way that prioritizes who we are and who we want to be and our essential energetic selves, if not through beliefs, right? These are all great questions to ask. How do we pull what source is into us and internalize it and flow with it without having to rely on the control system of beliefs that we're so very used to, generation after generation? And the answer may be kind of hard for you to believe. It's probably something we might talk about for a little while. But it takes something very, very specific and very personal and sometimes very, very hard for us to pivot from a belief system and into our own authentic, independent, sovereign hearts, right? Because it's a hard ask for many of us. Right? This thing that can get rid of our limiting beliefs, but sometimes it's not so easy. And that very thing that can move us from limiting beliefs is nothing less than self-love. Loving ourselves so much that we feel inseparable from a source God that energizes us, where we don't need anything else. We don't need a mind to service up the belief system that our external control environments want to help it create. Self-love is a very, very powerful way into our authentic selves and into our sovereign spirits, right? You feel lovingly embraced by perfect acceptance of yourself without judgment. This is a powerful place to be. And it's what it takes to open to God fully and completely, to flow with source energy. The truth is, it takes self-love to remove us from some of the so many of these things that capture us and capture our attention and that tend to control us and our external experiences and our internal thinking. And it takes over our heart space and self-love can regulate all of that. And it's a very powerful thing when we consider that it can impact our physical body chemically and and energetically in a way that is very powerful. And with self-love, we run our body differently. We alchemize it in a very different way, chemically and energetically. It runs on a transformed alchemy. We are physically different when we fill with unconditional love. We have mastered a new reality with self-love. Nothing is ever the same. And the question is, well, how do we do that? Okay. Revolutionize our entire psychic system into this thing called self-love that is truly hard for many of us to embrace. So there are teachings that tell us how to do this. And one of those I'd like to share, and it's the idea of loving what we hate so much that we transmute it. We transmute the hate. We change its properties. We love it into what it isn't. Right? We pour love into what we hate about ourselves, and it transforms us. It changes the alchemy of our energy. It is the way of healing, friends. It is the way of healing. Change the negative thoughts about ourselves and transform our intentions for our person, our body, our spirit. This is healing. It is loving what we hate so much that we literally transmute it. We transform it. It might be worth a try, right? To think about. There's also something in Gestalt therapy itself, and you might want to look it up. It's a fun fact. There is something that's called a paradoxical theory of change, right? A paradoxical theory of change. And it says that real change comes when we embrace what we are instead of trying to change what we are. Right? So it's essentially the idea of being our authentic self, whatever that is. whatever that is, to move into being more of ourselves. And that is the most powerful you in the universe, right? Self-love, it regulates our physical body differently, chemically, energetically, than apathy or self-hate, right? Self-love runs our body differently. It runs on a transformed alchemy, right? And that's a very powerful thing. You know, the question is, who are we when we stop trying to be what we're not? Who are we when we lose the belief systems and we are so in the flow of our source and our energy in a beautiful combination of spirit that we are completely authentic? We are completely aligned. That's a beautiful thing. And it comes through unconditional love. It comes through the love that we give ourselves. Well, you know, what does all of that mean? You know, we could say, well, I love myself, so why don't I feel all that good stuff that you just talked about? You know, what does it really take to align and transform? True self-love, it means that essentially we've removed all the conditions for love. We've removed the conditioning, right? The limiting beliefs, they fade away and we can return to our authenticity. We flow in the unconditional nature of our source energy. And that energy just wants to co-create with the flow around us, right? We want to create. We don't want to believe anything. We don't want to be limited. We just want to create. We want to allow that energy to ripple out across the cosmos. We want a unified stream of beingness that is connected and has joy, and we find passion, and we've joined a beautiful music, right? When we lose the conditions attached to loving ourselves, really, that's where the limitations of our belief systems really have to evolve, right? We are a vibe that resonates as peace energy because we are at home in ourselves again, and our spirits can come back into our bodies and be at home, right? And I have to share with you, friends, if you really, really want to feel God's love, if you want to feel source energy, if you want it flowing in your body so that it is something that you feel, it's palpable, you have to start with this act of learning to love yourself. It is the beginning of everything that we can do and feel energetically in our bodies. It is the tether to everything that is source and that is creation energy. It is everything that we are. We create every second of ourselves. Every second of this eternal now is creation energy. And that is in itself a requirement of loving that creation energy and not stifling it and not limiting it. Love yourself, and then you will know God. So many of us hate ourselves and we wonder, where is God, right? Nothing is working out for us. Where is source? I'm suffering. Why doesn't God fix this? Right? I have some news for us, friends, and I'm not sure we want to hear it. And I want to be very, very careful not to offend here. The teaching is a little brutal. But the question is, if we're not being our authentic selves, is there really a fix for us that source can offer? If we're not being who we really are in soul and spirit, if we're not embodying our authentic selves, right? Then what is God fixing? Because it's not us. Who is God fixing? It's not the true us, right? We are lost in delusion and degradation and stagnation and limiting beliefs about who we are, right? Because if we cannot be authentic, who is Source reaching for, right? And we have a something of an incapacity even to appreciate Source energy itself when we can't even love ourselves, right? If we can't love ourselves, we can't reach toward that appreciation of Source loving us, right? And we complain about timing and not seeing signs and nothing is happening and where's God? But who would they happen to? Right? When you're not even yourself. Okay. And the idea is, are we investing in life force energy at our own signature so that we can feel it coming back to us authentically? Are we in touch with Source that surrounds us in a way that invigorates us and pulls that energy in? Or are we busy being what we're not and being who we're not? And that stifles our creation and it stifles our energy. And we have to realize we have an energetic imprint, each of us. Right? And it's comprehensive. It goes back to the very beginning of what is. It goes back to the very beginning of the one, the Source creation of all of us. But if we're out of touch with that, because we can't find ourselves, because we can't love ourselves into authenticity, what is Source fixing or helping? And that's the question, and we'll talk about that in the weeks to come as we share those ideas. How much of a stranger are we to ourselves? How do we get back to the authenticity that binds us to a cosmos that loves us? So just some food for thought, dear friends, and maybe a good way to end our time together, give us a few things to think about. And I'd like to end with maybe one of my favorite analogies before we go. Imagine, if you will, being all of us our authentic selves, and imagine the sound of how beautiful that is and how we might ring with pure resonant clarity in our authenticity. Like a perfect pitch, maybe, of a healing bell. And in that beautiful music, we join a sacred chorus and we begin the healing of a beautiful humanity and its greatest evolution, perhaps. And it's something of a cosmic a cappella, I suppose. And that's a beautiful thing. It's certainly beautiful to daydream about, isn't it? So I want to thank you so much for joining me as we shared special time together today. And thank you so much, BBS, for all of your good work. We sure are grateful. And as we go into a new week, please, please be gentle with your heart space, friends. And this week, offer yourself a little compassion that your spirit might long for. And for now, it's time for me to go. And until next time, friends.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.